Hello and welcome to another episode of the Scariest Stories. Tonight's title is The Dyatlov Pass Incident. Let me begin. The Dyatlov Pass accident refers to an incident that resulted in the death of 9 sky hikers in the northern Ural Mountains. The incident happened on the night of February 2, 1959, on the east shoulder of the mountain Kolat Sakhal, a Mansi name meaning Mountain of the Dead. The mountain pass where the accident occurred has been named Dyatlov Pass after the group's leader, Igor Dyatlov. The mysterious circumstances of the hikers' deaths have inspired much speculation. Investigations of the deaths suggest that the hikers tore open their tent from within, departing barefoot in heavy snow. While the corpses show no signs of struggle, one victim had a fractured skull, 2 had broken ribs, and 1 was missing her tongue. The victim's clothing contained high levels of radiation. Soviet investigators determined only that a compelling unknown force had caused the deaths, barring entry to the area for years thereafter. The causes of the accident remain unclear. It had been agreed beforehand that Dyatlov would send a telegraph to their sports club as soon as the group returned to Vizhai. It was expected that this would happen no later than February 12th. But when this date had passed and no messages had been received, there was no reaction. Delays of a few days were common in such expeditions. Only after the relatives of the travelers demanded a rescue operation did the head of the institute send the first rescue groups, consisting of volunteer students and teachers, on February 20. Later, the army and police forces became involved, with planes and helicopters being ordered to join the rescue operation. On February 26, the searchers found the abandoned camp on Kolat Sakhal. The tent was badly damaged. A chain of footsteps could be followed, leading down towards the edge of nearby woods on the opposite side of the pass, 1.5 km northeast. But after 500 meters, they were covered with snow. At the forest edge, under a large old pine, the searchers found the remains of a fire, along with the first 2 dead bodies, those of Krivonischenko and Doroshenko, shoeless and dressed only in their underwear. Between the pine and the camp, the searchers found 3 more corpses, Dyatlov, Kolmogorova, and Slobodin, who seemed to have died in poses suggesting that they were attempting to return to the camp. They were found separately at distances of 300, 480 and 630 meters from the pine tree. Searching for the remaining 4 travelers took more than 2 months. They were finally found on May 4, under 4 meters of snow, in a stream valley further into the wood from the pine tree. An examination of the 4 bodies, which were found in May, changed the picture. 3 of them had fatal injuries. The body of Tibiox Brignolil had major skull damage, and both Dubunina and Zolotarev had major chest fractures. The force required to cause such damage would have been extremely high, with one expert comparing it to the force of a car crash. Notably, the bodies had no external wounds, as if they were crippled by a high level of pressure. One woman was found to be missing her tongue. There had initially been some speculation that the indigenous Mansi people may have attacked and murdered the group for encroaching upon their lands, but investigation indicated that the nature of their deaths did not support this thesis. The hikers' footprints alone were visible, and they showed no sign of hand-to-hand struggle. There was evidence that the team was forced to leave the camp during the night, as they were sleeping. Though the temperature was very low, around minus 25 to minus 30 degrees Celsius, with a storm blowing, the dead were dressed only partially and certainly inadequately for the conditions. Some of them had only one shoe, while others had no shoes or wore only socks. Some were found wrapped in sheets of ripped clothes, which seemed to be cut from those who were already dead. Journalists reporting on the available parts of the inquest files claim that it states, six of the group members died of hypothermia and three of fatal injuries. There were no indications of other people nearby, apart from the nine travelers on Kolat Circle, nor anyone in the surrounding areas. The tent had been ripped open from within. The victims had died 6 to 8 hours after their last meal. Traces from the camp showed that all group members, including those who were found injured, left the camp on their own accord by foot. One doctor investigating the case suggested that the fatal injuries of the three bodies could not have been caused by another human being, owing to the extreme force to which they had been subjected. Forensic radiation tests had shown high doses of radioactive contamination on the clothes of a few victims. The final verdict was that the group members all died because of an unknown compelling force. The inquest ceased officially in May 1959 due to the absence of a guilty party. The files were sent to a secret archive and the photocopies of the case became available only in the 1990s, with some parts missing. Some researchers point out the following facts which were missed or perhaps ignored by officials. After the funerals, relatives of the deceased claimed that the skin of the victims had a strange orange tan. A former investigating officer said in a private interview that this dosimeter had shown a high radiation level on Kolat Circle and that this was the reason for the radiation found on the bodies. However, the source of the contamination was not found. Another group of hikers about 50 kilometers south of the accident reported that they saw strange orange spheres in the night sky to be north, likely the direction of in Kolat Circle, at the same date as the accident happened. Similar spheres were observed in Ivdel and adjacent areas continually during the period of February to March 1959 by various independent witnesses, including the Meteorology Service and the military. Some reconstructions of the victims' behavior suggest that they were blinded. The rescue team had seen that the victims broke damp and thick pine branches for the fire, even though there was good dry brushwood around. Some reports suggested that much scrap metal was located in the area, leading to speculation that the military had utilized the area secretly and might be engaged in a cover-up.